Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kelly Eco coming back from New York. He was going to be in studio, got stuck in the Big Apple, and some travel arrangements right now keeping him away from the Killer Bees. We're efforting Kelly Eco. We think we'll get him back at some point today. 713-780-ESPN, your thoughts on the Rockets draft, namely Jabari at number three. Very, very fortunate for the Houston Rockets. Now, credit to Rafael Stone here, because Rafael Stone, we were saying, don't trade up. Don't trade up even if Banchero goes number one. Stay pat at number three, you'll get a good player. Now, we never thought in our wildest imagination that Jabari Smith would be that player, but there he was at three. 2141 saying the only thing that would have been better with this draft if it's Houston found a way to draft Walker Kessler. This is our Auburn guy. Defensive player of the year, outstanding rim protector, and a second Auburn guy, but I'll take getting Jabari. 2831, I like Jalen Green a lot, but I think Jabari ends up being the best Rockets draft pick since Hakeem Olajuwon.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible, and anything's possible at this point, but we'll let Kelly Eco get in here and get into this conversation with us since he was at the draft, but I mean, I think from an excitement standpoint, as much as Jalen Green brought excitement, when you look at a guy that, and you think about Yao was the first overall pick, and we know that Dream was, but to have a guy that for it really feels like was the first overall pick in this draft because he was hyped that for so long, just a great feeling if you're a Rockets fan.
Let's go out to the HRMP guest line now. Kelly Eco out in New York, covers the Rockets for The Athletic. Thanks so much for making some time, Kelly. Know that you're traveling around today. But Jabari, the pick there at number three, of course, caught everybody by surprise. You know, 15 minutes before the draft, you start to read the tea leaves a little bit. But what are the Rockets getting with Jabari in year one? What's his upside?
I think in getting Jabari, they're getting somebody who most people consider the most NBA-ready prospect. You know, he's a 3-and-D legit 6'10 wing that can the knockdown shooter, the switchable defender 1-5. He's somebody that understands gaps, is going to fill in the spacing on the floor and not try and do too much. He's not going to overexert himself on the offensive end. He's going to allow Kevin Porter Jr. and Dylan Green to flourish and just fill in the gaps where he may. And I think a player like that is a coach's dream. You know, someone that understands the game, who loves defense and wants to do the small things to make his team better. So I think that's what they're getting from day one from Jabari.
Kel, when you look at this, I mean, everybody's giving Orlando credit for keeping it as hush-hush as they did, but I think as much as that was quiet as kept and unbelievable that they did what they did, I think I find it even more unbelievable that Oklahoma City stood pat no matter what happened in front of them and still took Chet.
Yeah, I think that was a big surprise, too, because everyone thought, obviously, Jabari was going to go in the top two. You know, Chet was a strong candidate for top two as well, but Jabari more so. So I think once the Thunder saw, you know, Chet on the table, they kind of pounced on his potential, I guess. I guess they're playing impatient, whereas Jabari, I think Jabari is more of a fit for a team that wants to know what their identity looks like sooner rather than later. I think the Thunder are still figuring things out, and they're still going for prospects with, you know, upside, and I think that's why they went Chet. You know, that was so surprising
to
me and a lot of people.
Kelly Eco joining us on the HRNP guest line, covers the Rockets for The Athletic. What about the fit with Jabari coming in alongside Jalen Green, Şengün, KPJ around as well? I'm bullish for the pick, but what about the fit with the rest of the roster?
I think the fit is going to be a bit easier than how Christian Wood was, just because you're getting a guy in Smith that going to want to take on those tough defensive assignments. He's going to want to raise the defensive ceiling of a team that finished dead last in defensive rating last season. He doesn't need the ball a ton. He's able to, as I said before, fill in the gaps and occupy those spaces that Stephen Silas wants to see in the corners and slots, top of the key, and just be a high-quality role player. It's important to have those kind of guys, especially in the team that's trying to set the culture, set the trend of a team first mentality moving forward. You need guys that will come in and will want to take on the scrappy work, you know, they want to do those tough assignments and shy away from the glitz and glamour that, you know, offensive basketball carries. So I think the fit should be easy from day one. You should be able to adapt quickly to what Stephen Silas is trying to do. he should be able to help those guys also become, you know, more positive defenders, you know, bringing a more enthusiastic energy to defense, because we saw last season, it looked like, you know, layup lines. It looked apathetic at times, like it was just a lack of experience and a lack of will at times. So I think Jabari brings that chip on the shoulder from day one. He brings that dog mentality. He brings that professionalism, and I think it's going to be infectious with this team.
Kel, when you look at it now, even more important than ever that you get guys that want to be here and you get guys with this this young core. And not that, and Eric Gordon has been what Christian Wood was not. And Eric Gordon has been the consummate pro, but it just seemed like I thought Eric Gordon would be gone by this morning. I know that there's no real pressing rush, but don't you feel like between now and, say, the start of camp, they're going to find a new home for Eric Gordon?
I think, yeah, it's more palatable now than it was maybe 2 weeks ago, because teams have been calling. They did call. Some called on draft night, you know, trying to get something done. And ultimately, you know, the Rockets aren't pressed to move him, but they do understand that Eric Gordon has higher aspirations in terms of championship basketball, in terms of getting back to postseason play. So, you know, if the right deal's on the table. And now it's a bit easier now because you do have some more wings under contract that you can control, you know, and develop going forward. So I do think it makes moving on from Gordon easier. Now, depending on the price, I'm not sure. I saw, you know, there were rumors of the Philly deal. You know, Phoenix has always been shifting around there as well, the Lakers as well. But it's going to come down to what does Steve Stone deem as a quality asset in return for Gordon, because they do value the intangibles he brings in the locker room. They do value the example set for the young guys and just how to be a pro, and he's still a productive two-way player. So it's going to come down to, are they willing to let go of him right now this early in the project?
Kel, do they need any more bigs? Because, you know, we were just talking about that. They still need, because are they going to keep Boban?
I mean, Boban, the problem with Boban is that on paper, you would think that he's going to be a solid rim protector and, you know, a great guy in the locker room, and he is. But I just think that they need one more big who's a bit more mobile.
Yep.
You know, someone like a perfect guy would have been a Mark Williams or Jalen Duren. You know, those guys. And that's kind of why I thought they might move up. But they're primarily seeking wings. So now you look towards free agency. A guy like Isaiah Hartenstein makes a lot of sense. A guy that was in Houston, he left, developed, got better, came back, is a good passer. He can shoot. He can handle the ball a little bit, play make a little bit, and he's a good defender. So guys like that fit that bill. I think that's something that the Rockets should be looking at, you know, to shore up their big man depth in free agency.
Kelly Eco joining us, covers the Rockets for the Athletic. Kelly, we heard from Tillman, we heard from Rafael Stone in the build-up for the draft, we heard from Rafael Stone last night as well, and you can still see and listen to the philosophy that it's still, look, a long-term thought before the Rockets are a playoff team. They want to build with young players. They want to build through the draft. When is there a realistic expectation for the Rockets to be contending for the playoffs again?
I think, if you want to talk play-in, I do think that this next summer they should be able to bring in one, you know, star talent. I think they have enough space to do so. Houston has always been seen as a premier asset in terms of, you know, the money you can save, the lifestyle you can have, you know, yada, yada, yada. But realistically, if you want to talk about a playoff team, we're talking about maybe 25, 26 seasons. You know, 25, 26, 24, 25, possibly. But it's really going to come down to how big of a leap do these guys take in the next 12 months? You know, are they willing to listen, to adapt and learn under Steven Silas, under John Lucas, under those guys? Are they able to take those games and lumps of experience and turn them into, you know, productive seasons and productive careers? That's going to tell you how quickly they process information and how quickly they'll be able to raise Houston's, you know, floor and ceiling.
Kel, I got to ask you quickly about the other two picks. To me, it seemed like they hit on those two, because I think Eason is Garuba with more offense because he can shoot it, and he can shoot it from three a little bit, and he also can run, he can finish. And then I think Ty Washington, not only is he potentially a point guard of the future for this team, but he gives you insurance depending on what happens with KPJ this year.
Yeah, that's the nail on the head. And that's why they call Joe the OG. It's perfect. Like, I think Ty the way I understand it, the Rockets had him high on their board, and they were surprised that he was still available at 29. So that's why they pounced on that. That was typical best player available type thing. With Tyree Eason, the moment he came in to work out, they were impressed with how he measured, of course, but the intangibles, the analytics that showed his defense and how he can impact the game on both sides of the ball. He's a good cutter. He's great in transition. He's a confident player. He still needs a little bit of fine-tuning, you know, in terms of IQ and situational awareness, but he's a young player that will come with time. But defensively alone, he can handle 1-5. And that combination paired with Jabari Smith gives them a lot of possibilities going forward. They want to get better as a group. After finishing dead last, like I said. So with Easton and Washington, you know, you're getting guys. And also, Tyka has a 6 foot, I think 6'8.5" wingspan. And he's a great playmaker. He's going to get a lot of chance to show that under Coach Dow because he was playing off the ball a lot. But yeah, I think this was a great draft night for those guys. And it kind of set the tone of what they want their rebuild to be going forward.
Kelly, we really appreciate time, especially with you traveling. Safe travels back to H-Town. We'll hope to talk soon.
Yes, sir.
It's Kelly. Yes, sir. Kelly Eco covers the Rockets for The Athletic. He talked about when the Rockets could start contending again. Let's discuss that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.